This morning, we'll be looking at Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. So I invite you to grab your Bible, open it there. It'll be on screen as well to follow along with. And just that last song we were singing is such a good lead-in as well. Just nothing compares to the promise that we have in Him. And so we're gonna kind of hear about that a little bit too. And just kind of this question, I guess, that this passage, these verses will provoke in us, is just this question of what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Now, I know there's many different responses and answers we can give to that question, especially at different seasons and times of our life. And even when we look at the world around us, is just seeking to respond to that question in so many different ways. We even just see it in our advertising, of course. We're more aware of how that works in us and in trying to get us to look at it so that we'll want what it's offering, and just through our phones and our scrolling and all that, right? It's just in this world, there's just so much going on. Just so much there. So many different voices. Right? What are we looking for? What are we looking for? And so I believe this morning Jesus wants to speak to us about that, and that we could hear His voice in the midst of all the other voices and be recentered and renewed and restored by His voice. So just as we get into the passage here, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. This is the Word of God. And that by opening this Word, hearing this Word, attending to Your Word, Lord Jesus, we meet, we encounter, we know the God of the Word. So we ask for Your help, Lord Jesus. Help us to hear. Help us to quiet ourselves before You. Speak to us what You have for us this morning, Lord, as a body here and personally. Open our ears that we may hear and our hearts that we may receive. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Your name we pray, Jesus, amen. So Luke chapter 11, verse 33 and 36. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light, but when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it'll be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this passage, Jesus just begins with and gives us a very, very basic illustration. Lamps are lit for what purpose? To shine their light. To shine their light, as if there'd be any other point, right? And so lamps are lit to shine their light, and Jesus is using this incredible natural and obvious illustration. Right? It's just so obvious and so natural and so daily, we don't even really ever consider it. Consider these like daily things in our lives, right? And he's just using this incredibly obvious illustration as an on-ramp to a deep spiritual reality and to lead us into a deep spiritual truth. And so that's what we're going to kind of walk through and hear in the course of this morning, this message. And because we know in our lives, right, what lit lamps do, what light, right? That's what we're talking about, right? Light, what light does. It just reveals what's hidden, what's blurred. It gives clarity to things. It gives a certain warmth to it. I mean, maybe some of you have had that experience where you just wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe you have to go washroom. Maybe some of you are those kind of midnight sleepwalker snackers. And so, right, you're just kind of navigating your house in the middle of the night, and all the lights are off. And I'm assuming you don't have night lights, right? And still, even then, we still have street light kind of even getting through our curtains a little bit and still lighting things up a little bit. But we know how our house seems like this completely different place in the night. These pathways that we are so familiar to and used to, suddenly in the night, we're just kind of walking around like this. You know, you're heading for the bathroom's there, heading towards the bathroom, but you're half a foot off, and suddenly you're face-palming the door frame, right? Or you're kicking your toe on the corner of whatever, stepping on that toy that was left out that you didn't notice. We're made for the light. We're made to be creatures of the light. Can even just see it in how God has designed and created this world. Right? As the sun comes and lights everything for us, is like the lamp of this world, really. Makes warm, comfortable. So Jesus is saying, your eyes are lamps. And not only are your eyes lamps, but your eyes have been lit. Your eyes are lamps, and your eyes have been lit. And right? And so what this is just suggestive of is that something radical, something incredibly radical has happened. Because if your eyes are lamps and your eyes have been lit, what were they before? Not lit. And if they were not lit, what was there? Darkness. Something incredibly radical, new, is happening. That Jesus is leading us into. Your eyes are lamps, and your eyes have been lit. Right? Lit up with new vision, new sight, new warmth, new light. And it's just what he's pointing to, what he's beginning to bring us towards is this thing that has happened to us is just so radical and so completely new that the closest parallel that we have for it, the closest analogy that maybe we can even have for this thing in the created order is that between darkness and light. That between death and life. Something incredibly new has happened here. And so maybe, I don't know about you, but maybe this passage is a bit familiar for you. You've read it before. But even as I read it, I don't know why, I still expect almost that there be a certain flow, a certain trajectory to this passage, and that I'm just kind of regularly surprised by, right? Because our eyes are lamps, right? Our eyes have been lit, and then I expect, right, just with how light works, I expect, okay, then Jesus is going to talk about, right, the light shines out, right? Eyes are lit, light shines out. That's not what he talks about. Right, maybe there are other passages that would kind of be in that vein, but not here. That's not what he's talking about. He talks about the light. Your eyes are lamps. lit, and the light shines inward. The light shines inward. What's he meaning by all this? Right, now sometimes with this, I almost like to think of camping lanterns, right, with the analogy that Jesus is using. And so if you go camping, and maybe you're camping in that time of year where there's a fire ban, and so you can't have that fire. So you pull out the lantern. At least you can get some light at night, continue to read, play, socialize, play games, whatever it is you're doing, right? So do you light that lantern, right? You light that lantern, where do you put it? Put it in the middle of the picnic table, or if you got a rope strung up somewhere, you just kind of hang it off there. Right, no one really lights a camping lantern and puts it under their vehicle or behind that tree at the perimeter of your campground. You don't do that. Right? Why would you do that? Right, so your eyes are lit. Your eyes are lamps. Put it on a stand. Not under a bowl. Why would you put a lamp under a bowl? And so that brings us into these two eyes, these two different eyes. Jesus talks about healthy eyes and unhealthy eyes. Both eyes are lit. Both eyes are lit. And then there are healthy eyes and unhealthy eyes. The healthy eyes bring this light, this fire, this wholeness, this transformation, right? Just to the whole body, the light flows in and just brings transformation to the whole body, so that the body, the person, is now filled by the light, functioning by the light, possessed and invaded by the light. Living by the light. Right? Because we got to remember, what was it like before the eyes were lit? What would have been in the body before the eyes were lit? Being possessed by the light. That's the healthy eyes. And there's these unhealthy eyes, these sick eyes. And again, remember, these eyes, they're still lit, but Jesus is saying there's these unhealthy eyes, these sick eyes, and it's an indication of inner darkness, of not knowing, not experiencing, not encountering the fullness of the light, but rather being more familiar with the darkness and the wages of the darkness. And so we're saying, like, these eyes veiled, right? It's like the lamp under the bowl, these eyes veiled or curtained, right? Hindering the purpose of the light from just breaking in, of being lit, hindering the purpose for the light to invade and possess and transform it and chase out any inner darkness. Right? Making new by the light. See, he's saying we've received the gift of the light. And it's this invitation to faith, right? There's this building and this growing in faith of living by the light, giving ourselves over to the light, to be filled and possessed, transformed, changed by the light. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, maybe you're familiar with these words in this declaration he makes, where Jesus says, right, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Right? The true light in a world that offers a lot of false lights. He says, I am the true light of the world. And I've come, he's come to give light to his people. Elsewhere in Luke, this kind of imagery is really picked up. We kind of see it in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 to 79. This is the section commonly known as Zechariah's song, right before Jesus was born, and Zechariah prophesies around Jesus' birth and his son, John the Baptist's birth. And so in part of that, in verse 78 and 79 here, he says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Right? The light of the world has come into the world to be our light and to guide us, right? Transform us, change us in his way and on his way. And then later in Luke chapter 4, Jesus picks up this imagery himself, right? Jesus is in the wilderness, he's tested in the wilderness, and he comes out of that and he comes into a synagogue and basically like announces himself, like, here I am, this is my mission, this is what I've come to do, this is what I'm about. And he says in chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, right? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I've always wondered about that recovery of sight for the blind, right? Why that one in particular? Why not recovery of hearing for the deaf, speech for the mute, right? Functioning legs for the paralyzed. Right? Jesus did all those things in his ministry too. So why particular of all like the physical maladies? Why that one? I think kind of the point, right, is that it's pointing to the deeper spiritual truth, the deeper spiritual reality that we're hearing in this passage of our eyes being lamps. Like, he came to light us up, to bring us into salvation, to just have us so possessed by him and his light and so changed by him and who he is, that he's come to give sight in a world of darkness, in a world stuck, oppressed by darkness. He's come to give light and life, to give sight, to light lamps. And then later in Acts chapter 26, Luke, who wrote Luke, also wrote Acts. So some of the, you see, as you kind of read both, you sometimes see like similar imagery, phrases kind of being used. And in Acts chapter 26, Paul is defending himself against these accusations that the Jews have against him before Agrippa. And he kind of just telling his story, telling his purpose. So he recounts some of his conversion experience, right, which again had to deal with light and sight. And then in 16 verse 18, he says before Agrippa, and he's recounting what Jesus said to him, right? The words Jesus said to him, the mission Jesus gave to him. He's saying, now get up. So this is Jesus speaking to Paul. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness. Right? You bear witness to what you see, as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them, that is the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul's mission is to continue lighting eyes, right? To light the eyes of the Gentiles, right? And so that the Gentiles, which I imagine is everyone here in this room, right? And so that the Gentiles, that all of us may have the gift of eyes opened, eyes lit, so that, right? So that it comes with the power, the empowerment, it comes with the gift, the invitation then to turn to the light, to keep our gaze on the light, to live by the light, right? To continue to be changed by the light as the Gentiles, right? As all of us know and brought from light, dead to sin, to alive in Jesus, to continue to live by that light and abide in that light and gaze at that light. See, Paul's kind of bringing us into what was going on, right? There's redeemed, right? They're redeemed. We are redeemed from the power of darkness, from darkness, from the power of Satan. Right? Jesus broke the power of Satan over our lives and the power of darkness in our lives to give us sight, to fill us with His life, His light. And then the question is this on a stand or under a bowl in our lives? Is this on a stand or under a bowl? Or maybe is it in a cupboard, like an appliance we may take out every now and then? See, this very simple illustration is just incredibly, incredibly provocative. Right? And it's just how He's leading us into the deeper truth and the deeper spiritual reality for our lives. Right? And just reminding us again and again that we this is this basic reminder we need again and again, and we need to encourage one another in again and again, that we only live by the light. And Jesus is the light. We have nothing else. He's all we need. There's nothing else in this world that can compare, that can satisfy, that when you die will resurrect you from the dead. All we have is Him. All we have is Him. And He's bringing us into that truth and into that reality that He actually is all we have, and actually He is all we need. It's drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper into that. Right? That's the gospel confrontation in this teaching, in this parable, right? There's the kind of the big, large-scale, like, cosmic confrontation, right? And just being delivered from, like, the power of Satan to the power of God. And then within that is the gospel confrontation, the personal confrontation. Right? That is Romans 1, verse 16 says, right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is the power of God unto salvation in our lives. Right? The good news, the message to live by, to be lit by, to gaze at. That we were made to function by Him. To be filled by Him. Just to know how incredibly beautiful He is. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for? in the section right before our passage in Luke 11, verse 29 to 32, there's this crowd gathering around Jesus. That is kind of like, they're not too happy. Not too happy with him. They're trying to go after him a little bit. And it's really what it is these almost like these sick eyes asking for a sign. Luke 11, verse 29. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." See, remember, this is Luke 11. We're in chapter 11 here. Jesus has been doing signs and wonders and miracles and his teachings for some time now, for many chapters. And now you have these people, right? And again, the purpose of signs, the purpose of miracles, right? It's not just for faith in it, right? It doesn't make faith, but the purpose of the signs and miracles is to awaken or provoke unto faith. And the Jews at this time, they were being provoked into resistance and rejection. And so their response, they hear all this, right? The news spreads of Jesus' teaching, of his signs, wonders, everything. And they're with him. They're basically saying, yeah. Do another sign. Give us another sign. And he says, this is a wicked generation with a disposition of disbelief. So you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah. And what is the sign of Jonah? Because Jesus is saying, okay, Jesus is a true light, and he is here. And the sign of Jonah is a sign of repentance. Repentance. Turn to the light. Right? See, Jonah, what he did, he was sent to Nineveh to preach a message from the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to bring disaster upon this city. And so Jonah, right, in the book of Jonah, says, great city Nineveh. Jonah goes through the city, preaches this very basic message, repent. God's bringing disaster upon this city. And the people of Nineveh, the leaders, the king, they hear this message. They hear this message of Jonah. They unite their faith to it. They hear it and they unite their faith to it. The word goes in instead of bouncing off. They unite their faith to it. They turn. They repent before God. And God relents. And God relents. And right, so what Jesus is highlighting here, right? Turn to the light. He's saying, turn to me. Here I am. Repent. Turn to me. Stop rejecting me. Turn to me. Stop putting me under a bowl. Turn to me. The Queen of the South was brought up in those verses as well. Who's the Queen of the South? Well, she's this woman. She's this queen. This nation. Right? She hears of Solomon's wisdom, right? God gave Solomon this wisdom beyond any other. And Solomon's wisdom spreads, like the fame of Solomon's wisdom spreads through the nations. She hears about this king of Israel with this amazing wisdom. I will not be satisfied until I see this man, until I hear this wisdom for myself. She drops everything, seeks out Solomon so that she can be in his presence and hear his wisdom and know his wisdom. She hungered for this wisdom and pursued it. Right? And Jesus is saying, look, there is greater salvation being offered here through me, through Jesus, right, than Jonah. There is greater wisdom being offered here now through Jesus than with Solomon. This is so much greater. Turn. Repent. Right? So even so that he says in the verse we opened with, that we read in verse 35, he's saying, see to it. That the light in you, that what you think is light, is not actually darkness. See to it that the light in you is not darkness. That what we are living by is actually the true light. And I think that's just a word for the church in this hour too. All the churches. Right? To check our foundations again. To turn to the light again. Right? To see to it that the light in you is not darkness. That's a deception. And I know the thing with deception is you don't know you're deceived. That's kind of the definition of deception, isn't it? No one knows, oh yeah, I'm deceived right now. Right? See to it that the light in you is not darkness. So how do you test that? Well, you just keep turning to the light. You keep submitting yourself to the light. You keep functioning by the light. And the other word too, or it just says, we hear this parable of under the bowl or on its stand, right? I think there's a spiritual boredom. Right, that Jesus is just speaking to and speaking about over all his churches. To so delight in the light and to know the fire of his presence and his love that the light brings to our lives, that we get to know and live by. So we want to be careful. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're paying attention to. Be careful what you're giving priority to in your life. What you're functioning by and what you're allowing to lead and direct your steps. In Psalm 1, we'll kind of bring it down, close it down with Psalm 1 here. In Psalm 1, there's this image, maybe familiar, of a tree, right? The tree planted by streams of water, right? Its roots and the streams of water is just flourishing. This tree's always in leaf, bearing fruit. Right, is this picture of God's desire for our lives in Him, right? Our lives in Jesus. Right? And so we say, okay, yeah, this tree planted by streams of living water, right? My eyes lit and full of light, fully functioning by the light, these healthy eyes. Okay, how do I get there? Right? And in Psalm 1, it talks about delighting in the law of the Lord, right? Delighting in the Word, delighting in God Himself. And see, the thing is, without delight, we drift spiritually. Without delight, we drift. Right, and that's often what the Pharisees were being confronted with, right? Because they were really, you know, wanting to walk in obedience before the Lord. But there's just that delight had been lost. And so they weren't functioning by delight. And then it just became this legalism, this spirit of religion, this whatever. And there are various ways this can all be expressed. But right, just without delight, we drift. I think you all recognize that or agree that's probably the same thing in your marriages, in your friendships. Right? If you're not delighting in your spouse, I mean, how solid and good is that all going to feel after some time? Or your best friend, if you're no longer delighting in your best friend and who they are, I mean, how long will you really remain best friends? Right? You kind of drift from one another slowly, even though there'll still be that relationship. Without delight, we drift. And how it's laid out in Psalm 1, right, is this drifting. It is almost like this increase, right? This drifting. Without delight, you begin drifting towards the counsel of wicked. So you're hearing this other stuff, counsel of wicked, things that are right, kind of against God's ways and purposes, right? And you're hearing this and you're allowing this in. You're uniting some faith to it and allowing it in. And so the drift, you drift towards the counsel of the wicked and then towards the way of the sinners and to the seat of the scoffers. And it's just this kind of slow drift. I mean, no one goes from like a profession of faith to saying, oh yeah, I it's my intent to sit in the seat of scoffers. Who does that? No one does that. But this is just like this drifting. Slowly, over the years and over the decades. Without delight, we drift. Right, and again, right here, here's the example from Nineveh and the example from the Queen of the South, right? Right, turn. Jesus saying, I'm here. I'm your life. I am your life. Turn. Turn again to me. Right? Submit your life to my leadership. Right? Receive from me. You see the beauty in this, the grace in this, just God's love and mercy in this too is that, I mean, this is just part of the reality of our lives, what we'll experience happening in our lives. But the thing is, like, whether we find ourselves kind of just at the very beginning of drifting or you know, here, or maybe we feel wear off or swirling somewhere, it doesn't matter, right? You hear the call to repent, hear the invitation to repent, and you turn. It doesn't matter whether you're here. Immediately you're brought back into alignment and you're being fed by those roots that are drinking from that living stream. Right? That's His grace and power and forgiveness in our lives. There's this other passage in Isaiah. I don't have it on screen. I didn't have it in my notes. Things from Isaiah 30, 31. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Are you right? This is God's grace and truth over your lives, right? Doesn't matter where we are, where we're at, right? His voice behind us saying, no, this is the way. Come back into alignment with me. This is where your life is. This is where your life is. Keep me on a stand in your life as the priority, as the thing you live by and function by. We have been baptized with Holy Spirit fire so that we can live by that Holy Spirit fire and so that we can function by the man, so we can function by Jesus, to be possessed by another. and he has given us. 31,102 verses to behold him in, to get to know him in, to find ourselves in him in, to grow us in functioning by him and his light and his truth and his way, to clear out and chase out any darkness in our lives too. You know, those places of temptation to sin that speak strong to us, any of those strongholds that we may think may be in our lives, to continue to bring freedom and deliverance to each and every one of us. And shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you for this gift. Jesus, we do declare, we do believe that you are the light of the world. That is what you said, and we believe it. You, Jesus, are the light of the world. You, Jesus, are our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that washes and cleanses us to receive this gift. To forgive us of all our sin. To grow us in you. Jesus, you are so much more than we could ever just, begin to imagine or realize. And so, Lord, we ask for that gift, and we know you, Lord Jesus, says in Hebrews, you are the author and finisher of faith, the author and perfecter of faith. And so, Lord, again, just this morning, we commit ourselves to you. We put you, Lord Jesus, on the stand. You are the priority in our lives, Lord. So what you began, what you've authored, Lord, knowing that you will continue to author it in our lives, that you will finish it, that you will perfect it, and entrusting ourselves to you and your leadership in that. Lord, give us that humility before you to submit ourselves to you. Even if there's things we're confused about or things we have questions with or things we're doubts, Lord Jesus, we want to lay it all before you. We don't want to hold on to anything pridefully ourselves, Lord. So give us that encouragement too. Lord, in all things we want to turn to you. In all things we want to live by you. And Lord, we ask for the gift, for that incredible gift, to function more and more by you, to know our lives more and more in you, that you, Lord Jesus, may become more and more real to us, and just how prized of a possession we are to you, that you submitted yourself, Lord Jesus, to death on a cross in our place. How much you gave up for us, how much you suffered for us, Lord, that we may know, Lord, lead us, unfold that love in our lives, that we may know how much of a prized possession we are for you. And we pray that you may more and more and more be the prized possession of our lives. Continue to author and finish that in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you do, and that is your power to do so, and your power in your life is greater than anything Nothing can separate us from your love, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that promise. We thank you for that promise. In your name we pray. Amen.